boast of anything save the cross of the Lord. The cross of Jesus Christ. Through it the world has been crucified to me, and I to the life of the world. Through the cross of Jesus Christ, all that matters now is one created anew. Peace and mercy on all who follow this rule of life, the Israel of God. Henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear the marks of the Lord, the marks of Jesus Christ. All that matters now is one created anew. Peace and mercy on all who follow this rule of life, the Israel of God. May I never boast of anything save the cross of
Jesus once said, there is nothing hidden that shall not be brought to light. Everything that is hidden from mortal man, hidden from the men of this age, shall be brought to light. Does not matter how long it takes. But just bear it in mind that everything shall come to light in the sight of every man. Now what is this thing that comes to light? It's the revelation of truth. The revelation of everything that appertains to God's world, God's kingdom, to God and His Christ. See it? It is like drawing down a curtain. When you draw down the curtain, what happens is that you see what is beyond the curtain. Praise God. That is what Jesus Christ came to do, to reveal the truth. As Jesus Christ lay on the cross dying, as He gave up His ghost, the Bible says that a veil that separated the holies of holies from the rest of the temple was rent into two. Now the holies of holies represents the invisible realm, where God's kingdom, God's presence is found. It represents the invisible, the spiritual realm. A realm that is in reality hidden from the men of this age. See, therein lies the true life, and therein lies the originality of all living. Every man came out of that place. You see, but somehow in the fall, in man's descent into this world, a veil was placed over his mind. See, and Jesus Christ has come to reveal the truth. Praise God. And when that truth is revealed, it actually goes forth to consume the lie. It consumes everything that has no root in originality. So you see, the unveiling of God and his invisible attribute, his quality, the unveiling of God's kingdom and his Christ, is like a consuming fire that dissolves every lie that we have lived in. When once you have this revelation, when once you have been able to perceive the reality of that omnipresence that dwells in the invisible, we call it invisible because we've been used to the material world, so we now call it invisible. Praise God. But once you begin to perceive and see that invisible presence, you can never ever get away from it again. And you must now become agreeable with him that sits on the throne, which is with God. You must agree with him. Praise God. Hallelujah. You must agree with him. Now, the process by which everything that is false, the lie, we as men in times past have all lived in a realm called death. See, a realm called death is actually the realm where we have lived absent from the reality of God, absent from the Spirit. Paul says that when we are in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So when we are absent from the Lord, we are in the state of death. That is death. Praise God. Absent from the Lord means death. Praise God. Now, being absent from the Lord is not the original way things were from the beginning. Because from the beginning, we were all one in united in one with God. Hallelujah. And this is the thing that Christ is coming to demonstrate to us today and to cause us to enter back into. See, every illusion of a life or an identity outside of that one Spirit that God is a lie. See, everything that we have walked in, be it our self-identity, all these things is just, we can call it idols. It's just like we have formed idols. Like when a child goes to the beach to play, you see how they form their castles? They form all kind of things. That is how we live when we live as human beings. See, being ignorant of that true spiritual life, that oneness that we have in the Lord, in the invisible. Praise God. So you see, as the truth is revealed from above, it brings to naught every lie. Praise God. It dissolves our identities as human beings. It dissolves every sense of belonging we have to this outer world. It dissolves every knowledge or doctrine or belief that we have had that tries to separate us from the reality of our oneness with God. For the Bible says that what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. From the day we were introduced into this world, there has been a putting asunder of the reality of our oneness with God. Your beliefs as men, your traditional beliefs, whether it be tribal, whether I be institutional, whether I be religious, all these things are beliefs that simply divide you from that one spirit that you are with God. And remember that the division occurs in the mind. You are never separated from God. God never left you. You are only blinded from the reality that you are one with God. So the fire of God comes to dissolve all these lies. See, the truth comes and it dissolves all these lies. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we are all admonished to agree with the truth as we hear the truth. Otherwise, there is no rest day and night once you come before the truth. Hallelujah. The Bible mentions two types of death. Two types of death. There is the death of our Lord Jesus. See, the death and the Lord of our Lord Jesus. And we who obey the gospel and unite with the Lord in his eternal purposes, we obey the gospel by dying with the Lord, by faith. Looking back at what the Lord had done 2,000 years and dying with the Lord. We who die with the Lord by faith also live on account of the Lord. We live on account of the Lord in a new life, called the resurrection from the dead. We live in newness of life, no more according to the old lives that we lived when we walked as humans. So you can see Jesus Christ came to put an end to that formation upon the earth that we have lived according to, and cause us once more to live in originality, live according to that true celestial man that we truly are from the foundation of the world. Now this is the only way to salvation. Salvation comes by recognizing the truth. The truth. And that truth is from the beginning. That truth is Christ. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. And recognizing him and waking up in him is what gives us access into this new blissful life in eternity. Praise God. If you go quickly to the book of Revelations, chapter 20, from verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of the Lord, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But he shall be what? Priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Hallelujah. Now we can see here two types of deaths. He talks here about those who die on account of the Lord. These are those who lose their heads on account of the testimony of Christ. Of course, it doesn't mean necessarily that somebody has to chop off your head physically. See, losing your head means losing your mind and putting on the mind of Christ. When you put on the mind of Christ, it's no longer you but Christ. It's no longer a carnal, beastly, terrestrial creature, but rather Christ, the celestial creature of God, the true creature of God. Praise God. See, these ones that die, the first death, which is the death of our Lord Jesus, are those who pick up their cross and follow the Lord daily by denying themselves. Hallelujah. These are the ones that refuse the mark of the beast. If you continue in your humanity, if you continue with this, you know, with the first life as a man upon this earth, you're simply walking in the image of the beast. See, walking in the terrestrial image is the image of the beast. That is the carnal, serpent-like nature of man. So, and as long as we walk in that image, we're out, you know, of the reality of the grace of God, outside the walls of the New Jerusalem. Praise God. Remember the transgression of Adam? The transgression of Adam, simply that Adam started to walk as a human. Adam received the mark of the beast. He started to walk according to the dictates of the carnal mind, with a sense of belonging to a material world, to a physical world, and lost all awareness of his spirituality, lost all awareness of his true self, as he is known of God. So Adam became imprinted with the mark of the beast upon his hand, his forehead. Praise God. That is mortal man for you. So all men are falling short of the glory of God. All men walk in that image of the beast. They become unworthy of the name of the Lord. All men have exchanged the glory of God for that of the reptiles and corruptible beasts of the earth. Hallelujah. You see this in the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Let's go there. La 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 la. Verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, Romans chapter 1, verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. See it? Hallelujah. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanliness through lust of their own heart to dishonor their bodies between themselves, who exchanged the truth of God. Are you listening here? They exchanged the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator. See it? Who is blessed forever? See, now man in the descent exchanges the glory of God, because we are the glory of God. We are that image, likeness, and the glory of God. We are the express image of the invisible God. See, but in the transgression, man puts on the image of the beast. He exchanges that glory for that of creeping things. See it? Four-footed beasts, reptiles. He talks of carnality. Man becomes a natural creature. He loses all sense of his spirituality and everything that he is. So as long as a man walks in that state, he cannot see God. He cannot see those streams flowing with living water. He cannot see those bountiful streams of peace and joy and gladness. He cannot. He loses the dominion on everything that is God. And herein lies the cost of man. So you don't really have to blame a thief for stealing. You don't really have to blame somebody out there who betrayed you and tried to, you know, to cheat you or, you know, outsmart you in something. All men have to do that only to survive, because they have no helper. Praise God. See, but if you go back to Revelation chapter 20, which we were just saying, it says that those that are worthy to partake of the first resurrection, which is the awakening from the dead, the first resurrection, which is a resurrection unto life. Praise God. These are those who have what? Rejected that mark of the beast. Those who have patiently followed on to know the Lord, that I may know him. They have left the lie of their humanity. They've lost their minds for the mind of Christ. They've lost their heads for the testimony of the Lord. so that they can once more walk by the Spirit. See, these are the ones that reign in life, that enter into the new day, into the resurrection of life, where they rule and reign in that one Spirit, which is the Lord. They reign unhindered. They enter into the liberty, the glorious liberty of the sons of God. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. No more sin consciousness. Unhindered access to God. Herein lies the power and the joy of the saints. Praise God. And the Bible records clearly that on this once, the second death has no power. The second death has no power over those who have obeyed the gospel, those who have let go of all for the sake of Christ. Hallelujah. Losing your life upon the earth means losing all. See, like Paul says, I've lost all that I may know him. That is the kind of mindset that we must have. See, we must let go of all to hold on to the Lord. And the secret of it is that when you have the Lord, you have all things. Glory, glory, glory to God. God should enlighten our hearts. Hallelujah. The first resurrection is our part, not the second death. Hallelujah. Because we can see that the second death is not, how do I say it? Pleasurable in this sense. It's beneficial at the end of the day, but not pleasurable. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you go quickly to the book of John chapter 5, was speaking here about the resurrection from the dead and relation to the deaths. We've said here there are two types of death. See, there is the death unto the name of the Lord. There is a death for those who follow on to know the Lord. We all died in Christ. Those who obey the gospel by letting go of all to live on account of Christ, who is their true life, shall reign in life unhindered. But those who reject the gospel, the glad tidings unto life, and continue in the lie of humanity, have the second death, which we are going to see shortly, is actually the lake of fire. They have that to contend with. Praise God. John chapter 5, it says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now you can see, it says that all shall come forth from their graves. Like I said, the grave is that dimension where we live in thick ignorance. The grave talks of darkness, ignorance, spiritual death. All men die in Adam. Dying in Adam means they become totally unaware of anything that is real or true. So you can see what men walk and live in relation to is just lies, vanities. They have no reality, or rather no understanding of what true life is. They have no understanding of the real world, which is the spirit, the invisible realm of God. They have no understanding of who they truly are in reality. They have no understanding of their realm, of their world, nothing. They just walk in darkness, pure darkness. All the hate, the envy, the competition, vainglory, and all these things that men occupy themselves with, trying to gather, thinking that they can kind of, you know, acquire security from material riches and all these things, is simply because the men are walking in the grave, in the realm of the grave, the dead. See, but the Bible says that the hour cometh when all, like, you can hear the words, it says all, it's not just talking about a Christian or whether you understand this message or not or whatever, all men will hear the voice. That means they will perceive the voice of the Spirit. Bear in mind that the Son of Man is not just, in this context, it's not just a physical man called Jesus. See it. The Son of the Man of Man is there in the Spirit throughout all eternity. The same word He spoke when He appeared as Jesus, He speaks here today. That is the voice of the Spirit, causing men to come back or become once more aware of things that they have forgotten in the graveyard of humanity. When they begin to hear the voice of the Son of Man, their eyes, the inner eyes of understanding, the comprehension begins to open, and they begin to, realize or perceive once more that invisible presence that filleth all in all, the reality of God and His kingdom, the reality of who they truly are. All these things come forth to light as they hear the voice of the Son of Man. Hallelujah. And herein lies the difference. The Bible says that some shall arise, what? To the resurrection of life, and others shall arise to the resurrection of what? Of damnation. What is he talking about here? So, the word is a two-edged sword. You can look at this thing both inwardly and outwardly. See, he's saying here that those, what he's trying to say is that those who arise to the resurrection of life are those who obey the word of God. Those who have done good. Now, what does it mean to do good? When he says those that have done good, what does it mean to do good? Is he saying pay tithes? Is he saying go to church every Sunday? Is he saying, go out to Africa and, give all your money to the poor? Is he saying don't lie? What does it mean in this context, those that have done good? So you have to understand the mind of God. That your religious works and everything as you try to do as a man to kind of justify yourself before God have no meaning. These are dead works, dead works. You must understand that the only good thing that God wants of every man is that every man should recognize the truth and be conformed to the truth. And Christ says that I am that truth. So what he's saying here is that you must recognize yourself, know yourself the way you are known of God. This is the good will of God for you and I, that we recognize Christ as our life and we are conformed back to the image of Christ. Go back to the way we are from the beginning. This is the will of God. Praise God. Every other thing follows from there. Your righteousness, your love and everything is rooted only when you begin to recognize your true identity. Praise God. You go quickly to the book of Romans. Just some kind of backing up scriptures to kind of define what it means to do good. Do good. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this physical world. Be not conformed to this material age. See, but be what? But be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now we are seeing the acceptable, the good will, the acceptable will, the thing that is accepted of God, that is accepted of God, the perfect will. That thing that is good, that Jesus Christ says, those that have done good shall arise to the resurrection of life. Now we are seeing what it means to do good. Doing good is simply seed, conforming ourselves. See, allowing the mind of Christ transform us. See, allowing the mind of Christ take us out of the consciousness of the natural flesh body which attaches us to this outer world. Be not conformed to this world anymore. See, do not have a sense of belonging to this world anymore. You are not a material creature upon the earth. You are not a carnal creature upon the earth. Rather, you are a spiritual being, see it, that fills all in all. Recognize who you are. And let that be a transformation in your mind. Praise God. You remember the prodigal son? See, he had descended into the realm of pigs, which you say is the carnal realm, is the world. See, he's living the Father's presence. It's a spiritual descent. It's all in the mind. He puts on the carnal mind, the mind of the pig. The pig talks of carnality. He puts on the carnal mind and he slips away from the realm of all reality, the spiritual realm, from the invisible, and becomes a terrestrial creature. And here he sets his tribulation, his want, his fear, his sense of nakedness and everything. Humiliation. See, but he comes back to his senses. He now comes back into his senses, meaning that he now puts back that same mind of Christ, that spiritual mind of Christ. So as you put on the mind of Christ, you reject the mind of the beast. You reject the serpent mind, the carnal mind. Praise God. That is the resurrection. As the prodigal son puts on the mind of the Spirit, is awakening, he resurrects back into the consciousness of the Father. See it? And as he awakes, he unites back with the Father and he recognizes once more that all things are his. All things are his. For his pleasure and for his enjoyment. So you see, doing good, it's all about your conforming yourself back to Christ, back to your spiritual identity. Letting go of that falsehood of your natural, existence upon the earth. See, these are the ones that enter into life. See, but there's another group that enter into damnation. Those who hear the voice and reject it. Praise God. See, like Paul says that, his work is to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. See it. Colossians chapter 1 verse 28 says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Now, when we reject this message, when you hear and perceive the voice of the Spirit, and you know in your heart that these things are true, you sense it in your heart that it's true, but probably you still want to hang on to your life. Probably you want to retain the praise of men. You retain your position in society. You want to retain your glory before men. You want to retain everything of your former life upon the earth at the expense of the life of Christ. Those who do these things actually resurrect unto the damnation. See, that damnation is the second death. I want you to realize that there is no rest day and night for those who hear this message and try to get away from it. You will not rest day and night. It's always there before you day and night. See, no matter where you hide, run to, try to hide, you will always hear that voice. Praise God. It's very important that we obey the Lord, because at times it can be tormenting, great wrath and tribulation for those who reject the message. Hallelujah. You are going to understand shortly that in reality, in the damnation, that eternal damnation, that which goes into destruction, is the carnal man. That which goes into destruction is that human identity that we put on upon this earth. See, that is the one that is destroyed by the fire of God's truth and presence. We'll turn quickly to the book of Revelation chapter 20. Go further to the verse 11. Revelation chapter 20 verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on him, from whose face heaven and earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. Are you listening? And I saw the dead, small, great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now we see a clear definition of the second death. The second death is in reality the annihilation of what? Of that realm called death and hell. Hallelujah. Death and hell is just that dimension, that realm that we live in ignorance as men. It's a realm we live in where we are absent of the reality of our oneness with God. Is the realm that we live in when we walk, in relation to the beggarly elements of this world. When we walk in relation to vanity, things that are not. So it says here that what? Death and hell. It is a dimension. That is where the world inhabits. See, this is the realm where Adam went to sojourn in his transgression. That realm is consumed by the fire of God's presence. Hallelujah. The lake of fire is just simply that invisible presence of God. His truth. See, consuming everything that is the lie. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everything that is a lie will be dissolved by the Spirit of truth. Once that truth is ignited in you, it will not stop burning until everything that is contrary to God in you is dissolved. All your beliefs that of, you know, that of who you think you thought you are after the flesh. Whether you are male, you are female, you're African, black, white, whatever, all those things are dissolved. See, by the revelation of him that sits upon the throne. Now, he that sits upon the throne is actually the invisible presence of God being revealed. He can reveal himself through his saints. Remember when Jesus Christ appeared before some of those, you know, people that were possessed in the days of old? See, you hear the way they screamed out, you know. See, they were screaming, you know, acknowledging that that was the judgment of the great day of the Lord. See, the judgment of the world has actually been committed into the sons of, you know, the hands of the sons of God. Those who carry this message and walk in the truth are the ones that constitute that lake of fire. See it. And it burns away, destroys it, and alerts. When something is burnt up with fire, that thing ceases to exist completely. See, meaning that death, that realm of death, that imaginary realm of death and hell, everything is consumed by the truth of God. So that those who lived in that dimension can once more enter into life. Remember that God never destroys the souls of men. It never destroys in reality the true you that is. All that it destroys is the falsehood that encompasses man. Hallelujah. Now you see that many people try to get away from him. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. As the throne of God is unveiled, as that invisible presence is unveiled, many people try to get away from God. See it. We've seen it before. Some people hear this message and they try to run away and go back to hiding in the systems of religion. See, but it's just a matter of time they will get to realize that there is no hiding place. I remember some years ago, I made a telephone call to a sister somewhere in some part of the world, and we used to have fellowship years ago. She had heard the truth, she had seen a manifestation of great power and glory. I remember I called her just to say hello many years later, and she was frightened and scared when I called her. I could see she was tormented. Hallelujah. The best thing is just to agree with God. Paul says that he struggles. He's zealous to be agreeable with God. We have to always be agreeable with the Spirit. How can two work together except they agree? We have to unite in one purpose with the Spirit of God. Work as Spirit. Then we enter into our rest. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you can see here that the Bible says that those that were in the sea, the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell were, you know, gave up the dead that were in it. So you can see here that this is a proof that all this is just a realm, a dimension that he's talking about. It's the world. See, these depths of the sea, death and hell, it just talks of the darkness, the abyss, the realm of thick darkness that men inhabit, where there is no knowledge of truth, where men are completely blinded from the reality of the life of God, annihilated from the life of God. And here lies the source of the tribulation and the pain and the anguish and the sorrow and the, you know, pitiful state of man. Because he's walking in thick across that darkness. Hallelujah. Thank God for the light. Thank God for the revelation. Thank God for the deliverance from the hand of the Lord. Hallelujah. He's here to set us free. Praise God. So the second death, as you know, pertains to dissolving the realm of lies. It dissolves anything that is of the flesh. To some extent, every man passes through that thing, or rather I would say most men. I have tasted all that kind of thing a lot, man. Hallelujah. I've gone through the fire personally. Praise God. See, you try to just want to get away. You can't get away. You can't try it. Day and night for the rest of your life, throughout all eternity, you will always hear that voice. There's no hiding place for those who know the truth. You want to cool off at times and get somewhere away, you can't try it. You must continue on in the revelation of truth. Unite yourself with the Lord. Be agreeable with him. Praise God. Now there's a promise for those who continue with the Lord. Those who are faithful to the first death. Those who are faithful to the death of our Lord Jesus. Now you see this in Revelation chapter 2. And this is the message to the church in Smyrna. Hallelujah. I'll start from verse 10. Or let me just start from verse 1 so that we just have a clearer view of this wonderful message. Now you bear in mind that these are messages of the Spirit. When it talks about a message unto the angel of the church of Smyrna, it's actually the voice of the Spirit streaming to God's messengers. And these messages apply to us today who have the faith. That is why Jesus Christ has always said, mind how you hear. What he's saying is that mind how you hear the Spirit as he speaks to the church. Mind how you hear the inner anointing speaking and testifying of Christ in you and God's kingdom. Mind how you hear. Because this is your escape. This is the escape route. Your hearing and knowing is what will deliver you. See, from hell and destruction, from the sorrows and the many, many things that men go through. Now we'll move on here. I just start from verse 8, Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things say the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Now he says here, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Now you see, he's talking here of two deaths. He says here, be faithful unto death. See, faithful unto death, that is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Standing in the revelation of Christ, standing in the truth, dying to the elements of this age. Paul says that, put to death your members on the earth. That is your body, your sense of living, your sense of life, or whatever upon this earth, put it to death. As you begin to get the revelation of your spiritual identity, put that to death, and by faith, walk in the Spirit. By faith, walk in the revelation that you have today. Of course, you have tribulation. That is, the tribulation is just the temptation that comes from the carnal mind. Remember Jesus Christ? As he went through those 40 days of fasting and whatever, the Bible says that he was tempted of the devil. Now that devil that comes to tempt Jesus is simply the carnal mind. It's the human carnal reasoning that was in him as a man. That is what tries to tempt him and dissuade him from his goal. But Jesus stood his ground and resisted that temptation. See, in the midst of the desert, 40 days hunger and everything, he was tempted. See, but if we are faithful unto death, faithful in our confession that no longer Christ, no longer I, but Christ, faithful in that confession, continue with him. Paul says, if we suffer with him, we shall also what? Reign with him. If we continue with him, then we are not, we are crowned with what? With the crown of life, and we escape the damnation of the second death. See it? That is the torment that awaits those who reject the truth. You escape the torments. Continuity in the truth. Be faithful unto death. Be faithful unto the death of the Lord Jesus, and I'll give you the crown of life. Say it, so that you can reign in life. Praise God. Now you see those people reigning in life in Revelation chapter 20. See, those are those who are in the first resurrection. These are those who enter into what people call the millennium. It's 1,000 years, just is an infinite realm of perfect peace and glory. These are those that reign in eternal life in Christ, ruling and reigning in enjoyment, in pleasures, in all power, free from sin and all that kind of stuff. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are getting hints today on this same thing. The Bible says here that there is not one man that does good. All men have become corrupt. Now he's talking about the mortal man here. And of course, even the religions, all religions all over the world know about the judgment of the ungodly. a day has been set aside for the judgment of the ungodly. Now, the manner in which this thing comes has always been a source of controversy, but I want to assure you that that judgment is present now as we hear the truth. God wants every man to submit himself back to the Son. Every man to conform himself back to the Son and enter into salvation. God will not sit back and watch his sons see it suffer in the realm of death and hell. That's why he's here to get his sons out of that realm of death. Hallelujah. I'm going to round up fast by reading Daniel, the book of Daniel chapter 12. You can see that all these things are there just to confirm the word of the Lord. See, the Bible actually can all be compressed into one chapter if you are wise. See, the Bible is all the same thing. These many, many words here and there are just there to confirm the authenticity of the word of God. Authenticity of the promises of God. His purposes towards us. Hallelujah. Daniel also spoke about the resurrection from the dead. And he also mentioned the second death in a very subtle manner. Revelation chapter 12 verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of the people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was, since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time the people shall be delivered, every one that is found written in the book. Praise God. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Praise God. Now we see here Daniel talking about the resurrection from the dead. Prince Michael is standing in our midst today, sounding the trumpet. See, this is the archangel shouting with the voice of truth, streaming from the heart of God, causing an awakening in the people who sleep in the dust here. Now, those who sleep in the dust are all men. We hear that voice one moment or the other. Every man will hear that voice. It does not matter where you are. It doesn't matter, you know, whether you live on an island alone or whatever. That voice of God will get to you someday. You don't need to worry about relations who have gone beyond. And you think probably they are not saved and probably they are burning in hell. So well, that's all lies. The voice of God will reach every man. Hallelujah. Those who are sleeping in the dust consciousness. Those who sleep in the realm of the dead. In the material consciousness. They shall hear the voice of God reminding them of the truth. Revealing the things that have been hidden from their sight. Since their descent into mortality and into everything that this world has to offer. Hallelujah. The voice of God calls you to wake up. Awake from the dust. You that sleepeth or be in the dust, awake. Awake to your true identity. Awake to the reality of the Son of God in you. Awake to the light being that you are. Awake and let the morning star in you shine forth. Praise God. Now Daniel subtly says that those that have, he talks about two types of awakening here. He says some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. See, that which goes up to everlasting life is that which is agreeable with Christ, which is the spirit man. See, but everything that is contrary to the truth, everything that is contrary to Christ, everything that is of the devil goes into shame and contempt. Is destroyed. It is cast into the garbage of history. Hallelujah. The hour has come, brethren, to awake and enter into your rest. Awake and enter into the glory and into the love of God. Praise God. It's very, very important that we take these words very, very, very serious. Hallelujah. Let us be among that generation that will enter in to possess the possessions. Oh, hallelujah. in one of the last chapters of Revelation, it says that those that overcome, and that is Revelation chapter 21, when John the Apostle sees the new heavens and the new earth, the new heavens and the new earth is the new realm, the new dimension that God has prepared for those that love Him. See it. And now I saw a new heavens and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. That's the old that's passed away. The old creation. The old world that we lived in relation to has passed away. All the chaos. There's no more sea. No mean no more abyss. No more darkness. No more rocking seas. Because the sea talks of the realm of death and hell. That is the abyss where the inhabitants of this world inhabit. That is the realm where people live far away from the knowledge of all reality of the love of God. Annihilated from the life of God. That realm is consumed in the lake of fire. It is consumed and destroyed at the appearing of Christ. It is destroyed by the appearing of the truth of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. All things are passed away. The old sorrows, the old pains, the old struggles, the old, you know, fear and torment, all those things pass away and you enter into a place of a new reality of perfect bliss, infinite possibilities. Oh, glory, 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 glory be to God. Hallelujah. Verse 7, go down to verse 7, Revelation chapter 21, verse 7 says, He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Hallelujah. We are all actually sons. See, but we must overcome the belief that we are anything other than sons of God. We must overcome the belief that we are mortals. We must overcome the beliefs that we are separate from God. So that is overcome the world. The sense of belonging to this world. Everything must overcome all that fear and enter into the real. Purify yourself from the vanities of this age. And walk in the Spirit as a son of God. See it. Verse 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now we see it again here, the second death. See it. It's not pleasurable to go through that kind of thing, but to some extent we must all pass through it. See, the second death is designed to dissolve that serpent mind that we put on in Adam. See, those that continue with the mark of the beast find their part in the second death. See it. And the second death actually consumes everything that is flesh. But that which is spirit remains. See, that's why Paul says that hand him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that what? The spirit might be what? Saved on the Lord's day. The inner man is saved on the Lord's day. See it. We escape the torments of the second death when we purify ourselves with this hope that we hear today. He that has this hope purified himself. See it. We know that as he appears, we become as him. We are him and he is us. See it. We purify ourselves by continuing in truth, confessing Christ. We purify ourselves by walking in the Spirit, by letting go and learning to once more lean on the eternal arms of God. Praise God. See, the idolaters, the abominable, and all these things are people who walk in the flesh, who walk in relation to vanity, who walk in relation to the material world, who walk in the flesh. And the Bible says that flesh and blood cannot inherit God's kingdom. Flesh and blood cannot enter in. Praise God. So let us continue with patience, love, fellowship in love with one another, humility, laying hold continually on these great promises of God. Hallelujah. And in due season, every man will stand in his place in that glory. It's all there right now. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.
Peace and mercy on all.